You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And Josh Briscoe, he joins us each and every Friday at 11. He, of course, will be hosting pregame coverage 3 hours before kickoff, also postgame on Sunday right here on 96.5 The Fan and for the Chiefs Radio Network. Josh, I'm sure you probably have said this and talked about it with some of your friends as well. It feels like for a regular season game in the second week or so of November, this is the biggest one we've seen in the Mahomes era.
Yeah, I think it almost has to be. And look, I mean, we've had plenty of games, even some earlier season games, where we've gone, well, you know, this is big for playoff seeding. You know, if the Chiefs want to be the one seed, they probably need to win this game against Buffalo or Baltimore or whatever. That started at the very beginning of the year last year, which is kind of crazy to think about. But in terms of like actual playoff positioning, in terms of getting into the picture, and then of course trying to secure your 10th consecutive AFC West championship, this is not technically, not mathematically, but this is pretty close to a must-win game for the Chiefs to stay in the mix for the race for the AFC West. The funny thing is that if they win this game, all of a sudden, I'm not sure the Chiefs shouldn't be favored
right
to win the AFC West. So that really, there's a lot that hangs in the balance from a standings perspective. There's even more from a vibes perspective right now.
Does Josh Simmons playing or not playing in this game like change how you think the game goes, right? We know how good the defensive front is for Denver, but is it enough difference between him and Moore on Sunday where it would change your feeling about how the game goes?
Yeah, I think it would a little bit. I mean, we all know, and the Chiefs have shown us as much to say, hey, Josh Simmons is their best left tackle. And Jalen Moore, I think, has done a very good job in the role that he's been in. I think he's fully justified that contract. You're happy to have him as your swing tackle on either side. But if Josh Simmons is able to go, then I think you have to assume the best for him. You have to expect the best from him, where you say, hey, look, I know it's been a long time since you've been on the field, but if the Chiefs do put him out there, if he is ready by Andy Reid's standards, then I think that's nothing but good news for the Chiefs offensive line, because you get your future franchise left tackle out there, a guy who is playing some really good football before his absence. I have no idea what he's been doing physically for the last 4 or 5 weeks, though. So I guess that's the other side of the coin, is that, well, maybe he goes out there and he looks like a guy who hasn't played football in a month. And in that case, maybe it's a little bit of a detriment. But at some point, he's got to go back out there. And I'm hoping that he ends up getting the start against Denver, because I think that's your best case scenario for getting that offensive line back to full power.
So, Josh, you know, we talked with Nick Ferguson earlier about the offensive line for really both these teams, how important it is for the Chiefs against the Broncos in terms of protecting each one of these quarterbacks. But I want to ask you about the running game for each of these two football teams, because both are dealing with injuries. Doesn't seem like Pacheco is going to be able to go. Doesn't sound good for J.K. Dobbins for the Broncos either. How important is the running game for either of these two football teams going to be when it comes to who ultimately comes out on top?
Logan, I wish so badly that I could tell you that the running game is an important thing that I feel confident about, but I would be lying to you, your audience, everyone with the sound of our voice. I don't know because, and I can explain why I don't know. 2 weeks ago against the Buffalo Bills, the running game did matter for both sides. The running backs on both sides of the ball did average more than 4 yards per carry, being Kareem Hunt and James Cook, guys who have had very different seasons by and large. But the Chiefs did run the ball well against a battered Buffalo run defense. And again, did it for 4.5 yards a carry just with Kareem Hunt touching the football. So that was a game to me when the running game did really matter, when they did have the upper hand, and when it was working. And still, Kareem Hunt got 11 carries. So in this game against the Broncos, I'm probably more inclined to go ahead and try to replace some of that rushing game with the short passing game if it's a little bit for maybe Rashard Smith. It gets another little breakout opportunity in the screen game. I'm not expecting him to get a bunch of carries. I just think if he was going to do that, again, Buffalo would have been a good time for that. But maybe out of a bye week, you start to see Rashard Smith ramp up a little bit. Just more designed plays for Rashee Rice, trying to get him over the middle of the field, where obviously the Broncos have been dealing with injuries and in absences in the running and the linebacker room in its own right. So I don't know how severely the Chiefs are thinking about the run game right now. It's always important in short yardage. It's always important in the red zone. But in terms of like how they actually match up, I could see this being a game where they get away from the running game even more than they did against Buffalo. And then for Denver, I think you want to try to be able to give Bo Nix as much protection as you can, not like in the literal pass pro sense, but in terms of not making him do something every single play. A few opportunities to hand the football off and to just keep the rhythm of that offense moving is a really big deal. You want them to stay ahead. If you're the Broncos, you want to stay ahead of the sticks. You want to be in third and short and not making Bo Nix drop back on third and 10 because he's had two incompletions in a row. So, again, it sounds like that won't be J.K. Dobbins back there. And if R.J. Harvey is the guy that ends up killing you as a defense, you gotta be feeling okay about that from the Chiefs' defensive side. You say, hey, you don't have your number one runner either. We have to corral this and make Bo Nix make plays. So I did take your question about the running game, Logan, and make it about both quarterbacks, which is something I tend to do. And I'll note that for myself, Scout, this week.
We're talking to Josh Briscoe, pre- and post-game host for the Chiefs Radio Network. Coming out of the bye week, was there something that you would like to see more of? I think we both agree, Rashard Smith, but I'm kind of with you. I'm a little skeptical whether or not that would happen. Is there something else that you think, through self-scouting, et cetera, you think the Chiefs need to be doing more, or you would like to see them do more?
Yeah, I'll give you two different versions of it in the passing game because, yeah, let's just say let's agree, shake hands on Rashard Smith, and as soon as we see it, I'm going to be so excited for more. But right now, like we've talked about him, and I'd like to see him more involved. Two things in the passing game, one that might be a single game overreaction, and then one thing that I think is a season-long issue. The short-term thing is just I'm still baffled by the fact that Rashee Rice didn't get a little bit more of a manufactured game plan against Buffalo when nothing was happening very easily for the offense, when the O-line was having some struggles. All the quick, easy stuff to Rashee Rice, it didn't materialize in the way that it had so many other times throughout his still relatively young career. So I'd like to see the Rashee Rice wide receiver one game plan return when necessary throughout the rest of the year. But that might be a single game sample size issue because he was looking like that guy beforehand. The other guy, and he's been at the core of a lot of this self-scouting stuff because of the post-game comments from Maxwell Harrison of the Bills, but I'd like to see Xavier Worthy in a different, larger, more versatile role the rest of the year. It seemed like we were seeing more as a like legit, not a number one receiver, but a standard NFL wide receiver late last season in his rookie year. I'd like to, everything's been thrown off timeline wise. I mean, he gets his shoulder knocked out of whack three snaps into the year. He's dealing with the ankle. He pops up on the injury report with the ankle again yesterday. So maybe there's a little bit of a physical limitation for Xavier Worthy. I'd like to see him doing a little more in the intermediate or even just deep middle of the field. I feel like he has shown a capability to be a more well-rounded receiver than what the Chiefs have asked him to do so far this year. And especially, you know, getting Rice back, you're still trying to figure out how all those pieces mesh together. And maybe, I guess, if I give you a third receiver thing, if a little bit more versatility from Xavier Worthy means that Tyquan Thornton does more of your deep route stuff, that's still good for me. I'm still very comfortable with that. Thornton has been really good at coming back to the football. high pointing it, tracking the ball in the air. Like, I've been pretty impressed by Thornton in what has been a very limited sample size since Worthy returned. So those three receivers, I'd like to see their roles kind of solidified. And I'm guessing the Worthy thing probably was a topic of conversation, because I think you have to want more from him, just from a production standpoint, for this offense to be as high powered as it can be.
Yeah, on Tuesday, I think Logan and I were discussing Xavier Worthy and where his production is at. Obviously, Andy Reid was asked about it as well. I think you described it well, though, just what it looks like. Because from a target share, he's getting 7 targets a game. I actually don't think you need more than that. Like, I don't think he's going to be a 10-target guy. So I think it's just how they use him. It's not that they're not using him enough, if that makes sense. And 100% with you, you know, on Tyquan Thorne, where it feels like, for whatever reason, the rapport that Mahomes has had down the field has been better with Thorne than anybody else by far. Like, Worthy and him just have not been able to link up.
I mean, this is going to sound hyperbolic. I'm going to say at the beginning, I'm not comparing Tyquan Thornton and Tyreek Hill, okay? Just so everyone knows. But I think you could make the argument that Tyquan Thornton has had the best deep route chemistry with Mahomes since Tyreek Hill.
That's
more about some of the ups and downs since, and that's kind of erasing some good runs from MVS. So that might be a little bit the bitter taste of how that final season went for him here. But it just seems like a vein you've got to tap into. I am stunned. I had not run the numbers on targets per game with Xavier Worthy in the lineup. I'm stunned that it's as high of a number as you just said it was there. But that's absolutely right. I don't need his snap count higher. I don't need a whole lot more targets. I would just like to see him treated more like, again, a receiver who can do some more of those things. Juju Smith-Schuster is always going to be on the field in certain circumstances. I'm totally comfortable with that. You talk about a professional wide receiver. Juju Smith-Schuster is a professional wide receiver in every sense of the word. But I feel like there is untapped potential there. And maybe more Thornton and Worthy means less Hollywood Brown. And I don't necessarily want to get anybody off the field there. I just think when you do have the weapons, and Matt Nagy's talked about this every week since training camp, I think, all the talent they have in the receiver room, I buy that. I really do think this is a really impressive group altogether. But until you find the way to put all those pieces together, right now I think it's been a little bit less than the sum of its parts.
So looking at it through that same lens, Josh, on the defensive side of the football, the one or two things that you think that Chiefs unit needs to do with Steve Spagnuolo to try to get the ball rolling on that side of the football, whether it be the front four or maybe Noel Williams being more involved in the secondary, things of that nature.
Yeah, I think you can kind of go down two paths here, which is one, like, if I could wave a magic wand, what would I do? And then if I'm just like looking, if I'm Spags, what do I do? And I it's a good thing I'm not, because I have a whole lot less ideas than Spags does. But the thing that just seems like it stands out as this unit's shortcoming so far has been that front four, and it has been the pass rush without it having to be something terribly drawn up. George Karlaftis has had some decent advanced stats in terms of his, like, pressure numbers and everything. It has changed how I look at pressure stats, because I do think Karlaftis is an extremely useful, very good football player, but he has made so much of his success off of Chris Jones being enormously disruptive, and then Karlaftis is the guy that can kind of wrangle and clean up, and that's an excellent way to do things. But Jones has been a little bit less dominant this year. I don't think Karlaftis has ever had a sequence where he's just taken over a game from a pass rush perspective, and the rest of this defensive line is rotational. To Garrett Naughty, to Jerry Tillery, to Mike Pennell, to maybe we'll hear Colin Saunders' name next week, I don't know, to Mike Dana, to Charles Aminahou, they're just Ashton Gelati, I should mention, because his role has increased, and I think that's encouraging. But at this point, no one's really separated themselves from that group to say, okay, who is definitively the Chiefs' third best pass rusher right now? I think you can make an argument for most of those guys. I don't feel great about the 1-2 of Jones and Karlaftis at this point. I don't think Jones has played his best football, and I remain optimistic about where Karlaftis goes. I understand why they gave him the contract they did this offseason. Again, he's like a very useful player that you would rather have on your defensive line than have another absence there. But I would love to see Karlaftis add, if he can add 5 or 10% to the top of his game, if he can add one more tool, then I think he can really be a dominant player. But right now, he's a very, very good one. So that to me is the problem, where I think the secondary has given you plenty of reason for optimism, other than, you know, covering the tight ends against the Bills. It's more of a linebacker problem by and large, or how you make those safeties work in man, and who you want to be covering, a Austin Knox type in the future, hopefully in a playoff run. But all that to say, I feel good about all the defensive backs. I feel up and down about the linebackers, but I know who they are. I know what Nick Bolton and Drew Tranquil and Leo Chanel bring to the table. The front four, if they could get an extra gear, I think this defense would look a lot better. And frankly, you can't wave the magic wand. There is no automatic next year. And so I think you've got to figure out how to supplement the pass rush with Chanel, with some more Nick Bolton blitzes. And that's what we've seen Spags doing so far this year.
Josh Briscoe, appreciate it, man. We'll be listening pre and post on Sunday right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Appreciate it. Hey, I've got Logan sending me all the dirty secrets about you, Gold, so you just watch yourself there. I've got Logan's ear.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.